I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Here we go. It's hour one of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and thanks for making us part of your day, man. What a great sports weekend. We're here to talk about all of it over the next 4.5 with you. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6:30. General at your service, at ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion, Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here at the Lakeside Studios, 75 and 635. Fixing to go five flawless. Eric Chiafalo and Zach Wolchuk in the house as always, your Nosebleed Brothers. And Austin Nix is coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay. I start with the Mavs trade. Was that fun?
Heck yeah. Surprise.
Good way to get your Sunday morning going.
Yeah, and I would like to pay respects to Musa Cisse, who's also back in a Mavericks uniform. That took place over the weekend. So, I think It was strong. I was not expecting it. When I got the update, I'm reading through it, and I'm like, oh, the Mavs got involved here and gave up practically nothing for a guy that certainly has underwhelmed in terms of being a number one overall pick, but extremely young, can play some legit defense. It looks like from a catch-and-shoot three standpoint, he's got some upside there as well. So, yeah, that's a no-risk, potential decent reward move.
Yeah, I think the catch and shoot stuff is huge because as a former first overall pick, you're thinking, wow, this guy's got to have all kinds of stuff. But it was a bad draft, and he was just looked at as, you know, maybe a potentially elite 3-and-D type of wing player. 6'8", ability to make, I think it's 38% of his catch and shoot threes.
Yes.
Maybe 35 or 36% overall, but floor spacer, good length. When Masai Ujiri got the job, I was like, how long is it going to take for him to build a roster of all dudes 6'6" or bigger?
Yeah. Just huge.
I think Kyrie's going to be the lone survivor of the under 6'5" club or whatever it ends up being. I think you just got to be sick nasty in order to be on him. Yeah. Like, he had one in Toronto, Fred VanVleet. You know, he probably had more than one. Gordon, the big butt guard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Lowry?
Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. Yes, that's true.
But, I think if you can find guys who can do the job description at significantly larger heights in the game of basketball, that can really pay off in a big way. So, overall, I like the philosophy, and individually, I mean, to get a former first overall pick just 2 years after that draft with still plenty of upside, it's a hell of a job.
Yeah, and it's just 21 years old. And the one thing you know is defensively, he's going to be awesome. So, he's done a great job really putting this thing. It's kind of tough because I feel like anytime we talk defense in the Mavs, I'm reminded by Nico, and defense wins championships, but they have done a really good job of building around Cooper Flagg and putting together a hell of a defensive team. And they're long, and they're going to be difficult. And that's kind of what you need to do to keep up with OKC and San Antonio right now. You know, it's a similar mold. So I guess with that, it was sad to see Nembhard leave. I liked him. I was a fan ever since we interviewed him. Really good on air. But he's not tall enough.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they still have, needs for playmaking. We'll see how Larry comes together.
No, De La Rea.
We'll see what else they have in store for this summer of team building. But you don't have to be in a hurry. You can wait for great opportunities to come your way and then execute on them. Okay, the Rangers had a great comeback win on Saturday against the Braves. Homers from Peterson to start the game, and then Evan Carter tied it. Otherwise, they would have been swept against Atlanta. So you take one of three, you're fine. You're still in first place. Half game ahead of Seattle, who's going to be hosting Cincinnati tonight. Jacob deGrom making his return, I believe, against Eric Fetty is how you say this name, and his 1.42 whip. He's given up 15 home runs. I think we're going to have some yard work tonight. That's for sure. DeGrom's given up 16. Fetty's given up 15. but Chicago's 52-46. They are 21-29 on the road. So pretty important series for your Rangers. Absolutely. Here with the with the trade deadline coming up, and CY is going to join us coming up at 4:20. We are sitting here 2 weeks from the trade deadline, August 3rd at 5 o'clock, 2 weeks from today. One thing that was reported on last week is the Rangers don't have enough prospects to make big deals unless they want to include Walcott, who did go deep for Frisco over the weekend.
He's been looking good.
Yeah, he's looking real good.
I suppose I'd be willing to deal Walcott, but I think that's the most interesting question to ask CY. There's a lot of interesting things to talk to CY about, but do you have the prospects, you know, to make the deals for good players that could impact this roster without putting Walcott on the table? I hope the answer to that is yes. I think we'll have to ask him if he believes they've done enough. You know, a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, we talked to him about the trade deadline, and he said, well, the players have to go out there and give the ownership reason to believe that if we give you guys some help, that the investment would pay off. And that was right before they went on this run, took first place back over. Of course, we'll ask him about Corey Seager and Jordan Montgomery and Cody Bradford should be right around the corner now.
Yeah, Bradford's up at AA Frisco. Monty had a little bit of a rough outing his last time out, so I don't know if that's going to set him back at all. But it is. It's a tough one because I wonder for him, is it like, yeah, the team's doing enough, or is it just the rest of the league's doing enough for me? Because that way we're still in first place. Like the division, to Hagee's point, they got absolutely crushed over the weekend. So you don't lose ground. You're still a half game up. The rest of the league with the wild card, nobody's really running away with this thing. You're still going to have a chance. So it's like, yeah, you're not playing great, but it's still right there for you to be in the postseason. And we saw what happened in 2023, and they limped into that. After having a really good regular season, really first good 2.5 months of the season, they ended up catching lightning in a bottle, and it's hard to not, if you're CY and you saw that firsthand, all we got to do is get in. And can this team do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it justifies doing something, maybe, you know, an all-in type of move, exhausting your minor league system even more than what you've done already in the trade for Mackenzie Gore to start the season. I don't know if this team is that good.
Not if they play ridiculous defense like they did in the seventh inning yesterday. Simple, you know, all getting a rundown and all. I mean, come on. I mean, that just ridiculous. Young, what the hell? I mean, you got to make pivots. You got to make throws. I mean, you give these teams like the Braves extra outs, you just get what you deserve. You know, you get big numbers put up on you, and you know they've just got a little bit more sound that way. It's not easy playing Atlanta, and especially if you're going to give them extra outs. But and now you're about to play a pretty good team with the White Sox too. You know, you go out and you play ridiculous defense, and ridiculous. I mean, like, what the hell are you doing? It's like Little League out there. Some of the stuff that was happening, you know, to allow Atlanta to continue the inning. So, I mean, like I said, I was hopeful. I was hopeful that you know that it was going to work out for them. Maybe I was thinking too much about taking two or three from the Braves, but not the way that they played on defense, especially yesterday.
Disappointing weekend.
Yeah.
And usually defense is a troublesome sign. Were you watching that on the Buzzer app? Are you guys on the Buzzer thing yet?
No.
Buzz free environment
still
for
me. Got that DirecTV stream.
Okay,
so working out well there. Yeah,
DirecTV works well for the RSN. It looks about the same. The Buzzer app is an interesting proposition, isn't it?
I'm hearing about that. Yeah, like you can. It's almost like you have a timeline. You're interacting. You're tweeting. Yeah.
It's like a social media.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like bringing in YouTube to your streaming service.
You can, like, chat while the game's going on?
Plus Twitter, yeah. And while the game's going on, there's, like, alternate streams of people, like, doing side-by-side reaction streams to it.
Wow.
You know, it's just, like, a totally...
It's a Gen Z dream.
It's wild how that's caught on. So, like, you watch people watch a game.
I think so,
yeah. People enjoy that.
Yeah, they want some kind of different analysis, or they want to hang out in their community. I'm not exact. I'm, you know, it's not my thing. As of yet, but I understand that it's very popular with the kids and it's just a different way of consuming content. But on the Rangers, and Montgomery, you said he was knocked around a little bit here in his rehab start?
Yeah, I think his most recent one at AAA, it wasn't the greatest outing that he's had. But, I mean, I still think he should be back within the next month. It just depends on how, you know, stretched out he's able to get.
What's fair to expect? To me, Montgomery seems kind of like it's a long shot flyer that you take on a guy who did some legendary stuff for you. Mm-hmm. But I think that run he had with the Rangers is probably looking like, until further notice, his last successful stretch in Major League Baseball. He's only 33, but he kind of puts off washed up to me.
Well, and it's tough because his best time in the big leagues has been with Mike Maddux as his pitching coach. So when he was in St. Louis and was really good, Maddux was with him, and then obviously he was able to reunite with him after the trade deadline and go on to win the World Series. So I wonder, with the pitching coach, does that have something to do with it? But yeah, he was supposed to go about 75 pitches. The third inning is what got away from him. He ended up giving up a home run right before he got removed from the game and gave up seven hits. But that's a good question. That's why, I think I asked that to Nate Dell. I don't know really what to expect from Monty.
I mean, my belief and my hope is that Bradford is just a young bull that needs to just get healthy.
And anytime he's played, he's been really good.
He has.
So I believe in Cody Bradford.
Montgomery, you know, I hope that he can have a good stretch for you before it falls apart on him. You know, and I hate to say that about a guy who meant so much to the Rangers in 2023, but that's kind of described what his career had been in the lead up to that and then was for Arizona. Pretty big dodge bullet. I think the Rangers knew it. You know, the market knew it. Nobody was lining up to give him the contract that he wanted. Let's talk some college football here with you. John Mateer, SEC Media Days, says the mental toll he suffered after the hand injury right before Red River Week last year temporarily derailed his season. Quote, it was the hardest thing he's ever faced, but that now he's at full strength and has returned to his pre-injury throwing motion. He's feeling good. His grip strength tested out on that squeeze machine that they had at Men's Tee Clinic.
Yeah.
It was only a 90.
Last year?
When he came back from injury.
Okay.
And he said that his hand was so weak it significantly impacted the way that he threw the ball. But now he's back to throwing it the same. His grip strength's hitting at 150.
Okay, that's good.
There we go.
That's good. That's more than passable, for
sure. Do you think that makes Oklahoma think any differently when going forward about playing quarterbacks and stuff like that? Or is it just the fact that he gave them the best chance to win only being 60%?
Yeah, in the moment.
Don't you have to look at yourself and go, damn, we threw that kid out there, and he couldn't even hold on to the ball.
Probably a learning decision.
And I remember I remember Texas got after him pretty good, too,
in
that
game.
They
smacked him around, yeah.
Yeah, he got knocked around
pretty
good.
There were some horrible throws.
He
was a shell of himself.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes if you're the university, we put those kids out there and say, yeah, go out there and save us. And at the end of the day, he has such regret that it affected him that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
thinking about these guys.
So good with his feet.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see players that are able to overcome it. They're adjusting in mm-hmm. some way or another. The great Byron Leftwich, mm-hmm. you know, broken leg drives mm-hmm. yeah. that he had at Marshall. I think it's worth a shot if you don't have somebody who's waiting in the wings and is prepared to do better. You know, and I guess you go to your medical staff and say, we're not putting this kid at risk of, losing his hand or anything.
Oh, the
right?
last thing Oklahoma, and I'm sorry, alumni out there of Oklahoma, your guys are walking up and the coaches are like, how do we play this guy? What do we have to do? What special padding do we need? What special this? What special that? They're not thinking about this kid. That's what I'm saying. Obviously, it affected him in such a way that he's still thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's terrible sometimes. Yeah, it's NIL. Yeah, it's all this. But we're not always thinking about these kids or these players when it comes to – we're thinking about, well, how can we beat Texas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can we beat Texas? You know, that's all we're thinking about.
Getting the playoff.
Yeah, we're not thinking about, well, you know, man, if this kid goes out there and struggles, the fact that he still thinks about that day or what it meant, how it happened – I think that's poor on the University.
I mean, wasn't
Oklahoma.
It like a 12-day turnaround?
It was not.
It was insane.
No, it was 10 minutes is what it was.
Hand.
Yeah, it was
like going to be a 4 to 6 week injury, and
Brent
then he was
Venables
back 2 weeks
is,
later.
Brent Venables is like, he'll be okay. We'll just patch him up and throw him back out there.
It's just his throwing hand, dude.
Oh, God.
Well, a number of news items trickling out of SEC Media Days, and we'll have more of those as today's show continues. Congrats to Ryan Fox of Australia for winning the British Open.
Boy.
10 under, one better than Cameron Young.
Down the stretch, the last six holes, he played brilliantly. And everybody around him was falling apart, and he couldn't hit a fairway, and Scotty needed a birdie. I mean, it was Fox did a great job of hanging in there and just, you know, and as everybody was just completely falling apart, that's where he hits and he takes absolute zero time to play shots. Mm. Like he gets like the putt, the winning putt I think took 12 seconds. Mm. He basically got, you know, saw the line, got over the ball, hit it, and won the tournament.
Incredible pace of play.
He played like that the whole, and to watch somebody play like that in major championship golf is crazy, because these guys usually get so bogged down in every shot and wind direction and reading putts and all that. He wanted no part of that, like no part of that. He was doing everything, and I don't know if it was nerves, but people say that's how he plays. That's just how he lines up and plays. So congratulations to a New Zealander for getting that. I think Bob Charles was the last one to
wow.
New Zealand to win an Open Championship.
You play with a guy like that in a cart, just the two of you,
yeah.
You can get around in 9 hours or 2 hours.
Nine hours.
Yeah, you can play 72 in 9 hours. Yeah,
so you're playing with Ben Crane or somebody like that.
Guy like that.
Not Ben. Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler finished fourth.
Had a chance.
The cutaway to Cameron Young, who's on the practice tee, and he hears the roar and just puts his club in his bag, and he and his caddy walk off.
Yeah, that was his dad.
Oh, was
his
it?
His dad was standing. Well, his caddy was there. I'm not. But yeah. His dad was standing with him, made the trip over, and but I believe he had to wait. It was almost 4 hours.
Whoa.
The time he finished, and then when he was able to finally put that thing to bed.
Cam Young's got a hell of a beard, though. I got to say, his beard game's on point.
He won the facial hair trophy.
He'll always be the facial hair MVP.
Okay, we got the champ on the other side, then Woolchuck's top 10. Buddy, where are you taking us?
Well, today I think we can all relate to, it's National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. Mm. What are the top 10 things people do to get in the doghouse? What's yours? That's next in the nation.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now, on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the champ here. In just a second, the Woolchuck's top 10. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, is for the first time. We go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your champ.
Okay, going for 5 today at 5:30 will be our very own Mr. Mike Bassick. If you're not familiar with Mike Bassick, he used to be a major league pitcher in the big leagues. He threw a meatball. All right, got real famous.
715, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he threw that ball to Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds took a yard. Go look at that clip. You can see Mike Bassett just watch that ball go all the way out that damn place.
You can't tell the story of baseball.
What about Mike Bassett? Mike Bassett.
Historical.
Yeah, he used to be a host here on The Fan. In fact, he was in the G-Bag Nation at one point, and now he is on the Texas Rangers broadcasting side of the game on the TV side. And here he is in the post game with Wyatt Langford, willing to do anything for the squad.
Wyatt, what can I do? What can we do as Ranger fans to keep you healthy the rest of this season?
I don't know. I mean, I'm doing everything I can, so that's my goal. I'm going to want to play every single game for the rest of the year.
All right, well, I'm going to go home and get on my knees for you because, man, do we need Wyatt Lang for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Whew. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Didn't even make me ask.
Will might go 5 time. Tune in tonight at 5:30. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 2:20. Here's After the Mage.
All righty. Happy National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. And it's something I think, you know, everyone, men, women, you can probably relate. You've been there one time or two. What are the top 10 reasons people end up in the doghouse? 877-881-1053. I just saw a video of people taking going to the Odyssey movie, and they snuck themselves. They made a whole iron horse. Two people hid in the iron horse to see if they could sneak into the movie. It worked. Incredible. Great craftsmanship. Absolutely unreal. That's commitment to the bit right there.
They snuck in the theater by hiding in.
They had one person buy a ticket, and he's in full body armor, and he's dragging along the iron horse, and there's two people inside the iron horse.
Wow.
And they snuck on into the movie. Amazing bit.
That's outstanding, well done. Dude.
Well done. That movie crushed it over the weekend. So if anybody saw it, let us know how it is. Have not been yet. I don't know, Eric. Maybe we'll go in Oxnard.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that.
Is that kind of like our time, dude, to do it?
Yeah, that's my movie time.
You can leave it 2 weeks from now. A week from today, Brian will be there broadcasting from the tennis courts.
We'll be there.
2 weeks he from will. Today, we'll be watching their first padded practice.
Beautiful,
LFG.
Man.
What a time.
We'll see you in Oxnard.
What a time, baby. Yeah, we will. We'll see you in Oxnard, sir. All right. 877. Yeah.
Real quick, you looked at the temperatures in Oxnard?
I did.
I saw Tom Yarsh tweet them.
I peeped it this weekend just to get a little look-see.
What was it?
I think we're looking at highs of 75, lows of 65.
I think it's going to be, this is going to sound crazy because it's 103 here every day. It's like in the 80s. Like it's
80. I was looking.
80, yeah,
really?
Yeah, 80, like
mid-80s,
yeah.
Still take glorious.
I didn't even see any 80s.
Yeah. Tommy says like 77 for next week.
Yeah, I was looking at 70.
Good 75. Deal. I mean, I was looking at the weather report because, you know, usually the first time we ever went, I'm sorry, I totally
good. Take it away.
Oh, this is an important conversation.
I remember when we first went to Oxnard, it was like there were practices because if you remember, Jason Garrett practiced late in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time the end of the practice, sun was going down, it was starting to get.
Yeah.
Now with the earlier practices and stuff like that, but it's a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, please don't get me wrong. 103 to 80 degrees is different, but for that place,
it was
80s
chilly.
To mid 80s is a little warm for that place. Mm. So I don't know. El Nino, as they say, El Nino.
Yeah. I can't wait to get out there. It's,
it'll be nice, though.
We certainly look forward to it every year. Yeah. It's a treat to be able to.
I don't
do it.
Mean to be. Bitching about it.
Bitching to be bitching?
I'm not bitching. I'm
got a new Love of the Star today as well.
Yeah, we did.
So go ahead and check that out. Love of the Star Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
I love that, man. Speaking of bitching, we did a podcast today.
We bitched. We bitched. Lot. Yeah. Well, that's what we do best. Okay, forget the birthday or the anniversary from 480. That'll do it. That'll end you in the doghouse.
Unless she also forgets, which was my experience a couple of times.
Okay. See, there you go.
Wake up then 3 days after the fact, and then it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't even realize.
Oh, so it was kind of you both forgot.
We both forgot.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It was great.
Anniversary?
Yeah. Damn. Anniversary. Yeah.
That's kind of a win. So neither of you ended up in the doghouse.
Yeah.
So
that's a hell of a precedent, too, for the rest of your life.
It was our 1 year wedding anniversary. Oh, wow. We had totally forgotten. And it's like, okay. Now it did. It really did set the tone for this really doesn't matter. You know, we'll get a good high five and a hugsy kissy.
Something about
out
those
of it.
COVID weddings. It just was a little different.
It was.
Because our first one crept up on us too. And I was like, is it the 25th, 27th? I don't even know.
Yeah, you can lose track.
She's like, let's just do the 27th. No big deal.
I celebrate when I got divorced.
Oh, so that, do you that, celebrate
the
that
divorce
date every year?
Divorced. Yeah, divorced.
You go out and have a party?
Yeah, at a party. Absolutely. It's been almost 19 years.
Wow, we got to celebrate. We got to go big for the 20th next year.
Yeah, 19, that's a big one.
20 years of being divorced.
817 picked up some food to go last night and witnessed some dude getting caught cheating by his old lady. That'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Where
that might be like a permanent doghouse.
What drive-thru were they at?
Yeah, is it T-Bell? Hopefully no diarrhea. By the way, your gut's still good?
I feel great.
No issue with the lettuce?
I feel great.
Okay, great. Still early.
Yep.
Give it another
Taylor Farms cannot take me down.
7 days, dude. Yeah.
972 said getting caught watching You Know What, the Hub.
Corn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Ask a simple question from the 817. And depending on how you ask it, sometimes that's all it needs. You just ask the wrong way or you ask the wrong thing. Why do I have to tell you?
Yeah.
You should know this.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, I just want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Yes.
But that also can just be, you should know. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to tell you. The way the female mind works and the way ours work, very, very different. And I've had to learn that the hard way. And having two girls, you got two girls, you got three guys, I think we're in it for the long haul. And this is going to stink at times.
Yeah, I've had that thing.
I mean,
my, you guys
feel like you're doing the right thing.
My 2.5-year-old
asking questions.
Bosses me around.
Yeah.
I mean, I
know that feeling.
She
well.
Is the boss of my house.
She's the leader.
I'm low end on the totem pole.
She's in control.
I'm just here. We're just living here, man. She didn't forget Eric from the 682. I think she probably genuinely
knowing
you both.
Yeah.
I think that was genuine.
No, that's the thing. If you have enough kids at one time over a short period of time, she doesn't know what day it is, what month it is, what year it is, and it can help you. Help me.
Yeah, no, that could be Lucius.
Having a smile on my face and she doesn't know why.
Oh.
That'd definitely fire her up.
Ain't that suspicious?
What's she so happy about? What's going on in that phone?
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah, let's see.
Why you keep closing that door to that room and laughing? You happy?
How dare you?
903 said, don't call your wife the C word. He'll be in the doghouse for a long time. Yeah, I can imagine that. That'll do it. Number 10 on the top 10 reasons people end up in the doghouse is saying the wrong thing. Sarcasm or an ill-timed joke that hits a sour note with your partner, that can be a rough one. 9 is leaving the seat up or just any general bathroom etiquette. That used to get me with just slamming the seat. And it wasn't intentional. It was just like a poop. You know, I didn't place it down.
Yeah.
Just a
you got to get one of those seats that lowers itself very slowly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are clutch. I think they're only like $15.
Okay, that's worth it because that definitely was a problem early on. Now
or
I've,
just sit
I've been
to
trained
pee.
Well.
Sit to pee in your own home. You don't have to worry
or
about
you
it.
Sit to pee. That's a good point. 8 is being late. You show up significantly late to a nice dinner party or important event. See, I have the opposite problem of this. I feel like I'm always waiting on her.
For sure. That's,
yeah, 100%.
She's the reason we're late.
If it starts at 7, you got to tell her, baby, we got to be there at 6.
Yes. Or if it's something that's like related to her, like her function, then there's a little bit more emphasis to be on time. But if it's like we're going out to meet my family, my friend, something that she doesn't really care about, then we're taking our sweet ass time. Oh, it's
Samesies.
Fine. 15 minutes late, no big deal.
I mean, I would be coaching soccer and like, honey, we tell the team to be there 45 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
And she's like dragging her feet. So I got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'll see you at the game. I'm legit.
I'm the coach. I have to be there.
I'm not going to be late.
Do you think people nowadays just accept that it's okay to be late to everything?
Some.
You know, we become a society that just being late is part of the game. That it's, you know, your time's not that important.
That I have
accepted it. Yeah, I haven't accepted, but I just wonder if as a society that we've accepted being late as like, you know, like I don't, you know, you tell me 8 o'clock, I'm going to get there at 8:10 or 8, you know.
I just had a long conversation with Abby about this because she was starting to trend the same way. And I said, the message that you're sending to people is you don't care
about
this event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't care about their time.
Their time is the number one thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you let that become normalized, they're going to make judgments about you.
Yeah.
When you're showing up late, they're going to be like, oh, well, here's a person I can't depend on.
Yeah.
And that's not who you want to be.
No.
So
you want to be dependable.
I guess if you're out there and you think it's normal, it might be for you.
Yeah.
But the people making decisions are holding it against you in a very significant way.
I just cannot, like I say, maybe it's just athletics of always having to be there for meetings and stuff early. And I try and maintain that. But I'm a big believer in other people's time. I'm trying not to waste your time, you know, but I just don't think people think that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're okay with like, if I'm 5 minutes late, it's just cool. It's all right. We don't have to worry about that. That's a terrible way to operate, folks.
7 is giving a bad gift, buying a thoughtless, lazy, or practical gift, which has gotten me before with a gift card. It's like, there's no thought in gift card. That's lazy.
I know
the place that you like. You know?
It's very practical, though.
Gift card for the wife is pretty hilarious.
Well, it was part of Hanukkah. We did 8 days of it.
Oh, okay. That's
so one of the days I did a freaking gift card.
Yeah.
Sue me.
Oh, my gosh.
You
no.
Know?
You're totally in the right.
Yeah, and now we don't do the 8 days anymore.
Wouldn't you rather give them a gift card that they could use to buy something they want other than me trying to guess that you're not going to use or not going to care about?
The thing is you should already know.
You should know.
Yeah. You should already know what you want.
I'm not Kreskin.
And it's different than what you wanted yesterday, but you should know today what the new thing is.
6 is starting a binge without them. So like you start a new show or you watch an episode without, that'll start a war.
Yeah, especially if you're in it together for sure.
That'll be a bad one.
That's not good.
Five is just looking at someone else.
I think I bailed on House of Dragons yesterday in the middle of an episode. I was like, you know what? I can't stand it.
There's some bad episodes. It starts to drag. I think the second season just was not great.
We were like the second episode of season two. I'm like, good Lord, get on with it.
The second to the last episode was really good. But it's like 50-50. Half the episodes I liked, half of them I'm like, what the hell? Stop. Four is making solo plans. We're like, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. Or I've got this going on the weekend. Can't really do that. Three is leaving a mess. And you don't ever pick it up.
Yeah, or just missing like whatever your kind of general chores are. Yeah. Every once in a while I'll leave and I didn't check that the trash was full. And then I get a nice little FaceTime video of her taking the trash out.
Oh, that's nice passive aggressive. That's not good.
That hurts. Pretty good.
Two is just not listening, which, gosh, I'm definitely guilty of this one.
What's your reply when you don't listen?
No, you're right.
I hear you, honey.
I'm with you.
Is it a lot of that?
But she knows now. Like she, once you're together for X amount of time, probably even 2+ years, they know when you're dazed out or all, like I'm paying attention to something else. I'm not paying attention to you. The bit's off. And then I'm like, oh, would you say no? Please tell me. And then they won't. And it's like, I really don't care. So that's fine.
There you go.
I'm trying to learn from
that's
you.
That's a level
I'm
up.
I'm trying to learn, G. Number one is forgetting a big date. You miss an anniversary. You miss a birthday. But if you both miss it, then boom, you're out in the clear. So there's your top 10 reasons people are in the doghouse.
Overload her with responsibilities, man. She'll forget about it.
God bless you all, and let's stay out of it together.
Thank you, Walchuk. Top 10 in the books. We got a Hodge coming up, an early afternoon hodgepodge, Chief.
Yeah, wild weekend of broken records next year in the name.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to row.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Asian, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for an early afternoon sports hodgepodge. Here's your chief.
Yeah, lots of records being broken this weekend right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening
to
you guys?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, do you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
I'm sure you guys saw the fella Josh Kerr, who broke the world record in the mile.
Oh yeah,
this
I did
weekend.
See him. Yeah,
my goodness,
how fast?
Well, the previous record was 3:43. That was broken or set in 1999.
Wow,
it's been 27 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That no one's been able to touch it until this Scottish fella, Josh Kerr, stepped up and said, this is mine now.
Mm.
And he did it in 3:42. The idea that he was able to do that is insane. It's an average speed of over 16 miles per hour. And that is a dead sprint for anybody.
Yeah.
And you're doing that for the entire duration of a 1 mile run.
You know, when I was on vacation a week and a half ago, I was telling you about those pedal-assisted bikes with the battery power in them?
Yes.
Typically, average speed, 17 to 19 miles an hour.
Okay.
And this is pretty good pedaling.
Yeah, you're moving.
Yeah.
You're moving.
Yeah.
This dude is averaging 16 miles per hour.
Dear Lord.
For an entire mile run.
That's faster than most adults would sprint.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 16 miles per hour is faster than just most people that you know could even reach for a brief moment in time, let alone doing that for 4 laps around a track. Really next level stuff. So congratulations to him. You're talking about under 56 seconds per lap. This dude was just humming. I mean, absolutely humming.
28-second 200s.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just want to give a tip of the cap to that guy because, my gosh, a 27-year-old record that finally gets broken. What a stud.
Amazing.
I remember running marathons, and those guys that, like, the elite athletes would start ahead of me. They'd start 6 minutes ahead of me, and they would finish the race 13 miles ahead of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a different level.
And it's just – listen, I'm out there running. I'm 230-something pounds, you know, running, trying to make it and all. But
Band-Aids over your nips.
It was, yeah, blood everywhere kind of a deal. But it was always funny to me how I was just halfway to the halfway mark of the marathon, and these guys were done. I just, it was always just, and I could see him. I could see him start ahead of me, you know, in the corral ahead. And I could, it was just always like crazy how, you know, how fast those guys would run.
Yet another world record being broken. Apparently this fella, Darius Clark, he's competing in Shaq's Dunkman League for like $500,000 prize. It's going to be on HBO Max and TNT. It starts tomorrow. But they were doing some type of combine deal, and it was a running start, but he got 53 inches in the vertical. A 53-inch vertical. It looks insane watching somebody that high in the air.
Okay.
It's a running start, just by like probably 5-6 yards of a bit of a running start there.
And this is a one-footer? One-footed jump?
Yeah, let me see exactly. No, that's 2 feet.
2 feet.
That's okay. Off 2 feet, 53 inches in the vertical. What an absolute animal. You had Caitlin Clark making some history. Yeah. First 40-10 game in WNBA history. 45 points, 10 assists in a win as well. So she actually had herself quite the performance. It is a little bit surprising, some of the stuff that comes out. You're like, it's the first time ever.
Yeah.
But 40-10, she goes 45 points, 10 assists. That gets it done. You had Shane Gillis setting a record this weekend. Largest audience for a comedian. He was in his hometown of Philly. He's at the Eagles Stadium. 73,946 people were there. And he also sold the most tickets for a comedy show by a solo comedian as well. So two Guinness World Records.
What's his cut on that?
I don't
know.
It's
got to be at least $10 a ticket, right? $50 a ticket?
I don't know what that looks like.
Is that a $5 million payday for him?
That's a big-time cleanup, dude. For sure. And then how about our guy? Joey Jaws. Joey Chestnut took down 5 pounds of Memphis barbecue nachos.
5 pounds?
5 pounds.
Wow.
In 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
No.
What?
He's just shoveling.
Is there a video of this?
Yeah, there's video. You can watch it. There's a video.
That is freaking insane.
It's funny because the guys he's competing with, he's at the Memphis Redbirds game, AAA affiliate of the Cardinals, and he's competing against two other groups. I say groups because it's two guys on each tray of nachos, and they can't even finish it, and he's got it all down, 5 pounds barbecue nachos in 2 minutes and 12 seconds. So
that's freaking nuts.
I would imagine that's some kind of record there. I mean, how many people are going toe-to-toe with Joey Jaws, 5 pounds of nachos in just over 2 minutes? So it was quite the weekend for some record-setting moments. And, of course, Joey Jaws was going to be a part of that.
So you're looking at between 6.5 and 8 mil for Shane Gillis. What happens with these
for one night?
These massive arena things, after the arena's hard costs are taken care of,
security,
then the acts usually get between 85% and 90% of revenue beyond that.
Okay.
So it's like, you open this thing up for me, you do everything, and you can keep 10% off of this. So the owners of the stadium get like nearly $1 million, and he'll take 9.
Dang. That is a good night of work right there. And he had put on quite a show. I think Chappelle showed up, did some stuff. They had some concert kind of things going on as well, with some different performances. So quite the show there in Philadelphia. Shane Gillis, 2 Guinness World Records. You had Fanatics Fest this weekend in New York City. And we talked about the Knicks players and how much it was going to cost to take a photo with them after winning the title. So for Jalen Brunson, it was $937 if you just wanted to get a photo with Jalen Brunson. It was going to cost you about $1,000. Yes, I'm pretty sure
people did.
He had quite the line of people.
So that's your highest bid right there. $937 was the most expensive picture you could take, and that was with Jalen Brunson. So now we go down the list. How much did it cost for a picture with Scottie Pippen?
$200.
Anybody willing to go higher than $200?
He got a new girlfriend. I'm going to go with maybe like $5,000. Is Scottie, she like 21, 22?
Yeah. He's in his bag right now. $665 bucks for a picture of Scottie Pippen. How about for the quarterback who used to wear number 4 for the Green Bay Packers?
Thank you for that.
$400 bucks.
$500.
$474 bucks to take a pick with Brett.
Okay.
Gronk?
Gronk's going to be more than that. He's going to be
$750.
$625.
$409. I don't know exactly how they come up with these numbers.
Yeah, they're so specific. $409, $412.75.
How about your girl over there, your LSU Tiger, Livy Dunn, the girlfriend of one Paul Skeens?
$400.
$327.
$900. $114 bucks.
Oh, no.
Oh, Livy.
Randy Moss?
Get to know me.
Some fishing lures.
Yeah.
$47.
Some Whopper Ploppers. Yeah.
$354 bucks.
Test line. Some real strong test line. He's like, come on, man.
Eagle claw hooks.
Yeah.
Handle nut.
And how about the delta between Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns? Brunson's just under $1,000.
$300 bucks.
And for Cat, it was $338 bucks.
Oh, my God.
$228 bucks for Mike Tyson. $207 bucks for Anthony Volpe. $87 for Chad Ochocinco.
Dang, that's sad.
$87? I'd have paid that for
Mike
Chad.
Mike Tyson's like $250. Mike Tyson that's should be number one.
Crazy. I know. I don't know how they.
Must be generational.
The
kids don't have any respect for Iron Mike. There's no demand.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's probably terrifying, too. Like, you just don't know what he's going to do.
I'm pretty sure we could all get out of the way of Mike Tyson these days.
You think so?
He's just. I mean, at least you guys.
I don't know, man.
He's going to lunge forward one time.
He's going to club
as long
you,
as that doesn't hit you.
If he connects.
It's all she wrote, bro. Now, what do we think about the Pat Beverly? Are we trusting Pat Beverly and his sources, the former NBA player? Who was a pest and a nuisance and cried upon winning a play-in tournament game. He's saying, rumor has it, LeBron makes his decision today. Do we trust Pat Beverly to come correct here with this? Or inevitably, is he wrong and this takes place tomorrow? Or the next day?
Man, apparently he knows LeBron like from 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Like, I think Pat Beverly and LeBron James know each other predating their debuts in the NBA. He just seems like the kind of guy that if he knows something would tell you and be like, yeah, I told your business, you know?
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be like, oh, you know, overly concerned about offending people, if you will.
Well, we'll figure out if Pat Beverly's correct, but I would imagine sometime in the next 48 hours or so we'll get the decision.
So what's his call? It's happening tonight?
He said sometime today. He just said the decision is happening today. So at any point before we go to sleep tonight, maybe Pat Bev can be correct.
I'm taking that as we're on breaking news watch. So stay tuned. We got a 4.5-hour show for you today going up till 6:30. We got one down, 3.5 to go, and what's in store next, Wolchuk?
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. Let's get a mixed bag. Sark on Call and Plays. How far has this powerhouse fallen? And at G-Bag Nation, you make the call next to the nation.